Immigrant communities in the United States are rising up to protest the most recent attacks on their rights and dignity. In December, the U.S. House of Representatives passed Bill 4437, an extreme anti-immigrant proposal that would, among other consequences, increase militarization of the U.S.-Mexico border and make it a federal crime, instead of a civil infraction, to live undocumented in the United States. Over the past 3 months, that bill and other immigration reform proposals have been debated in the U.S. Senate. And, in the meantime, immigrant communities across the country have exploded into action. Demonstrations in major urban centers have been widely publicized, but they've also been happening in places that are not typically associated with the immigrant rights movement, places like Knoxville, Tennessee. Monica Hernandez is a veteran immigrant rights organizer. She is the chair of the board of the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition and is also a staff member at the Highlander Research and Education Center. And she has joined us this morning by phone from Tennessee. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning, Lucen. Thank you for having me.
So we've been hearing a lot about the millions of immigrants demonstrating in places like Los Angeles and Chicago and New York. What has been happening in Tennessee, where you live?
Well, immigrants have been mobilizing here, too. We had our first march here in Tennessee. Back on March 18th here in Knoxville, we had 700 people take to the streets in downtown Knoxville, and 700 people sounds like a small number when you compare it to the 500,000 in Los Angeles, but considering that Knoxville is a city of about 180,000 people that does not have a culture of organizing and protest, white culture anyways, and that immigrant communities are fairly recent and relatively small, although very rapidly growing, that was a historical march that happened. And then a couple of weeks after that, on March 29th, we held a massive march in Nashville, the capital of Tennessee, where over 15,000 people gathered and filled the Legislative Plaza. And that was also a very historical moment for the state of Tennessee and Nashville in particular, since people do not recall seeing anything like that at minimally for the last 40 years, and some people even think that this surpassed the number of people that took to the streets during the civil rights movement in the 60s.
Some people watching all of this from the outside may be surprised by what seems like a real spontaneity of these mass demonstrations. Do all of these mobilizations feel to you, do they feel spontaneous to you?
Well, it's a really good question. On the one hand, I would say yes, they're spontaneous, they're unprecedented. On the other hand, I think that they're a result of work that's been done for years and years and years with people to really try to instill in the immigrant community the fact that with the only way we can change the climate of this country, which is right now very strongly anti-immigrant, is if we speak up. That no one's going to do it for us, and so I think the immigrant community has heard that message really loud and clear, and particularly, as you mentioned, the H.R. 4437 bill that was passed by the Senate is so outrageous that it took a while for the word to get out that this was even in Congress, but once people heard, they definitely got organized and decided we have to speak against it. It goes against any sense of human dignity and against the most fundamental principles of what the U.S. is supposed to stand for and what we all want to believe the U.S. is about.
So as you were saying, the protests really started in December when Bill H.R. 4437 passed in the House of Representatives. What was it about that legislation, that bill, that really ignited the anger of immigrant communities?
Well, I think there's so many bad provisions about the bill, but the ones that I think incited both the immigrant community, but employers, allies, friends, family members, you know, everybody, which is almost everybody in this country that has a relationship with an immigrant, was this idea of making people who come here to work hard and to provide a better future for their family and their children criminals, and aggravated felons at that, and to make criminals also felons out of those who would provide any sort of assistance to undocumented immigrants. So, I mean, that's really has been unheard of. We've had terrible laws passed over the last 20 years, propositions in California, Arizona, millions of other places, but just the scope of this and how far it went was, I think, what made people really, really furious and said, okay, this is a real, real threat, and if we don't speak out now, we're going to be in real trouble.
That the bill was passed by the House of Representatives and then moved on for a debate in the Senate, and that's where it's been for the past couple of months. What's the status of that legislation now?
Yeah, well, the situation in the Senate has been a little bit complex because there's been a lot of politics there. But basically, they discussed several. There were a couple of different proposals on the table. They were discussing them, we're trying. Actually, the Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, who is a senator from Tennessee, was really intent on passing something by yesterday. That was his deadline, and on Thursday, it looked like that might be a possibility. The Democrats and the Republicans reached a compromise on a bill which was, on the one hand, incredibly hopeful because, you know, 2 weeks ago we would have not have imagined them even thinking about the possibility of providing a path to permanent residency to about 10 million people. So that was exciting in a way, but of course, hidden beneath all of that, there was a lot of requirements, criteria, exclusions, et cetera, that would make or would have made a lot of people ineligible, and some really horrible proposals about making the police, giving the police authority to, local police authority to enforce immigration laws, which are, of course, federal law, and other really, really bad stuff. So it was a mixed bag. In the end, the compromise failed. They agreed on the content of the bill, but they could not agree on how to move it forward. There were many senators who wanted to water it down even further through amendments, and the Democrats could not agree to that, so they were not able to reach a compromise, and now they're on recess for 2 weeks.
So all in the meantime, while the politicians have been arguing among themselves about these proposals, the immigrant communities have been protesting them, but it seems like they're also issuing demands for a more comprehensive immigration reform that would really meet the needs of immigrant communities. What is that more proactive proposal for humane immigration that grassroots communities are fighting for?
Well, I mean, it involves several different areas. One is that this issue, the way this last bill looked like, it was like a three-tiered approach to people getting residence. So depending on how long they've been here, it wasn't anywhere near what you could call a direct path to permanent residence. People would be received temporary work visas first and then become permanent residents. There were the more recent people would be totally excluded. So one of the principles is basically, you know, let's recognize the role that immigrants play in making the U.S. What it is, and instead of putting up barriers, let's look for ways to help them obtain the legal status that they need. You know, again, many concerns about the obstacles that were in the way. So basically, having more access for people to legalize their status, to reunite with their families. Another important thing that's been concerning us is with some of the temporary visas, to make sure that that there are sufficient labor protections and enforcement of those labor protections so that workers are not exploited, and that those labor protections be enforced for all workers, so both native and foreign-born workers. And particularly to end the enforcement abuses on the border, which have led to hundreds and even thousands of deaths over the years.
Some of what you're talking about, I think some more mainstream immigrant rights advocates might say it's unrealistic to push for a comprehensive legalization. Is that, with all of these mobilizations and this grassroots movement, is that dynamic changing between grassroots groups that want to push for something that is really comprehensive and those advocates who would say that we need to be more pragmatic?
Well, definitely there are definitely some changes. I mean, throughout the years, this has been one of those things that makes it hard in the movement, that there's tension often between folks that are working at the grassroots level and people that are working on the national level. The realities that we deal with are different. And so often, I would say even maybe 6 months ago, people were calling for comprehensive immigration reform, but I don't think anybody would have thought that it was possible. But a few years ago, as the grassroots was clamoring for legalization and comprehensive immigration reform, we were laughed at, you know. So that, I think, definitely the unprecedented organizing has changed the picture completely. Their message to us has also changed, because while before they were, you gotta follow the party line kind of reaction, you know, they realize that they, as advocates in D.C., have a specific role, and, you know, they are limited by all the negotiations that they have to do with the politicians, but really that the grassroots is in some way freer and charged really with carrying the principal line and asking for what we really need. So in some ways, I think the way we're working together and the recognition of the realities that we face and how strategies complement each other has improved somewhat. But there's still, I would say, differences and tensions in approach.
You've been involved in immigrant rights organizing for about 20 years now, and since the last federal immigration legislation was passed in 1986, and there were protests around that at the time. When you look at what's happening now and you think back 20 years ago, do you think that this movement has evolved and that immigrants are gaining strength and power since then?
Oh, definitely. I mean, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, I would say, the movement, if we could call it that, was not grassroots or immigrant led. It was led by activists and advocates who are still very much involved and very much an important part of what the movement is. But it has been the most incredible development, I think, in the work of immigrant rights over the last 20 years, is just to see people not only mobilize, because, you know, mobilization is good and well, but if mobilization is not accompanied with long-term organizing, then it doesn't get very far. So just the level of leadership that's arising from the community, the level of youth taking leadership, and I think that's really, really important. So many high school students, college students, or potential college students, because many of them are ineligible right now for financial reasons to go to college. The leadership that they are taking and are giving this movement is unprecedented and is really, I think, changing the face of immigrant rights organizing.
So even though the U.S. Congress hasn't reached a decision on this legislation one way or another, the protests are continuing, and this coming Monday has been announced as a national day of immigrant action. What will happen on Monday?
Well, there are actions in, they keep updating the information, but last I heard in 37 states, in many communities ranging from the big metropolitan areas to tiny communities such as Siler City, North Carolina, which is a town of maybe 55,000 people. More than 50% of the population there is Latino, and they're having their rally there. Rallies, actions, there's a big mobilization in D.C., of course. People are taking different approaches, but the same message basically that we need a just and real solution to the current immigration law, which is and system, which is broken. I just talked to our local organizer earlier today, and she was telling us that in this small town east of Knoxville, two factories are literally closing down. There are about 300 employers between the two factories. They're closing down the factory, and everybody's going to our action in Knoxville. So I think that people are really, really excited and hyped for the mobilizations of April 10th.
Thank you, Monica, for speaking with us this morning.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with Monica Hernandez, who is the chair of the Tennessee Immigrant and Refugee Rights Coalition and is also a staff member at the Highlander Research and Education Center in Newmarket, Tennessee. You are listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.